you like this episode, please subscribe, share with others, rate and review so we can continue to bring you great programming.
This is The Thing About Cars, a podcast for car enthusiasts and the people who love them.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Thing About Cars. I'm Mickey Desai. Around the table, we've got Misty all the way from the Netherlands, as usual. Misty, how are you?
Not moist, for once.
And Dave?
Well, I was fine. I'm slightly appalled now.
And Ben?
In a permanent state of, oh my.
Excellent. So it's just us chickens here in the house today. Before we get rolling with our major segment, Misty's got a relationship roadster segment. I've got Grand Trivia Auto for us. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Ready.
Hit us.
I believe this is also another one from our trivia czar, Tim. Czar Tim says, why are old stepside pickup steel fuel tanks less likely to corrode? My answer's choices are, A, the fuel tank had to be installed before the pickup's frame went through the paint shop. The fuel tank was primed and painted along with the frame. B, chromium, copper, zinc, and other preservatives leached from the wood pickup bed into the fuel tank, which protect it. Or C, the fuel tank is sheltered inside the truck's cab behind the seat. So these are old stepside pickup steel fuel tanks. Why are they less likely to corrode? Are they sheltered in the cab? Do they pick up chromium, copper, and zinc from the wood pickup, the wooden bed in the pickup? Or is the fuel tank installed before the pickup's frame went through for paint and therefore got painted and more protected? So that's our question for today. We will answer that at the end of the show. Misty, you've got a relationship roadster for us today, right?
Yeah. You know, we've talked in the past about our relationship with other people and how cars, you know, play into that a lot of times. And, you know, a month or so ago, I had a slight existential crisis regarding Claudette, which you all thankfully helped me solve. But last week I had to take her in for her yearly checkup and had to get the map updated and everything. And my dealer's really, really good. You know, they send me home with pretty much the exact same car that I drove in with, just a newer model. And I'm really glad y'all helped me solve that crisis because it was a beautiful car, you know. Everything the exact same as mine, and it was just like using somebody else's toothbrush. I mean, it literally did not feel right. You know, I mean, I've had Claudette now for 4 years, so you know, my butts, and I'm the only person that ever drives her. And it wasn't just that it was a different car and it didn't have my butt print in it. It didn't have the same personality. You know, it didn't have the same soul, and it was just so bizarre to be sitting in this car that on the surface was 100% just like mine, even though it was white. Ew. No, but there's no other way to describe it. It literally was like, you know, if you're running late in the morning and you grab your spouse's toothbrush instead of yours and, you know, your eyes are half closed and you put it in your mouth and you go, whoa, no, this is not mine. And it's so weird, you know, especially those of us that are really gearheads and car aficionados, how much we bond with our cars. You know, I frequently call Claudette my inanimate best friend.
I call Mickey the same thing.
You know, stop ragging on Mickey. It's not his fault. He's not as active as we are. You know, come on.
I do occasionally get out of this chair. It does happen.
Yeah, you know. The only reason I get out of this chair is because there's stairs and, you know, I don't have a Dalek chair that can float down the stairs. Otherwise, yeah, I'd never leave my chair. But, I mean, am I the only one this happens to? You know, you go to the dealer and you get a loaner and it's the exact same thing, you know, that you just drove into the dealer to get, you know, but it's not right.
Yeah, it's kind of like a blind date and sometimes it goes well and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, you know, there's an old trope in fiction writing that talks about, you know, if you're a married couple who's been together for a long time and all of a sudden one of the partners puts on a wig And they're like, you know, they were had brown hair, but all of a sudden they're blonde wig, and it re-energizes the relationship because there's the new and novelty aspect of it. And then all of a sudden the one in the wig starts to think, oh my God, you're cheating on me with my wig. So, you know, we have to fully round out the complexity of this by not also knowing how Claudette felt about you, you know, hooking up with another car.
Well, I have to be honest, when I went to go pick her up and I dropped the other car off, I sat there for a moment and said, you know, the only thing that I would have kept from the new car, and I actually did ask, is the newer models come standard with the reverse camera. So like when I got into, you know, go pick her up, my first question was, how much is this going to cost me to put a, you know, reverse camera in there? They're like, about 500 euros. I'll be like, you know, we will be talking.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's just.
So I had a similar experience, Mr. Dee, because 3 weeks ago when I was in Buffalo, I rented a newer, better version of the Jeep Wrangler. And I've been driving my Wrangler for almost 14 years. I love my Wrangler. It's a 6-speed manual. You know, I wound up renting an automatic. I wound up renting something with the camera. And there was lots objectively to love about that car, that in many ways it was an improvement on what I drive every single day. And then yet when I got home and got back into the Jeep, after, you know, I had to explain it, when, you know, it was just a one-time thing. It didn't mean anything. Yeah. My Wrangler, there is still just a comfort level of knowing what you're doing and not, you know, not having to figure out the strangeness of it.
Well, on the other hand, there's my weird automotive life. You know, I travel for business every week. I'm in at least one rental car a week. And none of the fleets have an updated version of what I've got. So, how do I describe it? And I'm strangely comfortable with almost every one of these rental cars.
That's because when Ben gets into a rental car, if you listen very carefully, the cart says, "Yes, Daddy." I think we lost Dave.
Oh, just all of a sudden, I've got this mental image of Ben in leather pants, and I'm just trying to figure out what to do with that.
I just ate, so, you know, and nothing personal, Ben, but this is not the vision that I wanted in my head. I'm just
no, I have no offense taken. I'm not sure it's the vision I want. But,
yeah, Misty, would you rather I'd use the harness image?
Thank you. Now I'm broken. Thanks. I have to go.
Mickey, this is why you should never let us have a show without guests.
It's so true.
Yeah, you know, please keep in mind, I have to go down and talk with my in-laws after this. And even though my mother-in-law at one point was the president of the European Board of Naturists, you know, she's still in her 80s. So can you not break me any further?
I dare you not to incorporate leather pants into the conversation with her.
Challenge accepted.
Putting her in latex is a bad idea. Is that what you're saying?
Wait,
how did I go from leather to latex? What's the jump there? I don't get that.
Freudian slip? Weird.
Freudian, yes.
Definitely a Freudian slip, but all, you know, in her case, she's so skinny, it would be like putting a condom on a beanpole.
And what kind of slip would Freud wear anyway?
Yeah. His mom's, Ben. His mom's.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. What kind would she wear?
So anyway, on the topic of cars.
I get to play with all these strange cars week after week. You know, I get to say hi to every one of them and, you know, play around with them and, you know, push their buttons and turn their wheels. And I come back to my car and I'm A-okay with my car and I'm A-okay with all those strange rental cars. So I'm not sure what that says about me, but
I don't know, but I feel like I just read a Xavier Hollander column.
Or
in a weird sort of way, yeah.
Or one of Anne Rice's beauty theories.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that's the thing. You know, like 2 weeks before, my husband had to take his car in as well. You know, we both have Mazdas. We both go to the same dealership. We just have to, you know, remind them MX5 equals Misty, you know.
Yeah.
because he drives a CX-5. And he came back with the latest and the greatest CX-5, and his lease is up in January. And he was kind of like, hey, it was okay. You know, but for him, there wasn't this, you know, yeah. Oh my God, I'm so glad I'm back in my car. You know,
he didn't have that deep, meaningful connection with the thing.
Yeah, he doesn't have deep, meaningful connections with cars, which is.
I drove a CX-5 just last week, actually.
Well, I'm currently colluding with the dealer to either put him in that with the 2.5 liter or the CX-30. He claims the CX-30 is like sitting in a box, and I'm like,
yeah, it's small. I mean, I'm not as tall as he is, but I turned it away when I tried one on in a rental lot one day.
Okay. I'll take your advice on that. So we're going to put him in the CX-5.
So Ben, did the MX-5, I'm sorry, did the 5 whisper to anything to you, Ben? Did it speak to you in any way?
It was all right. There were some things I liked about it and some things I didn't, just like with everything. Although funny you should mention the MX-5 because a week or two previously I was at the rental car garage at, where was it? Tampa, I think. And there was one of those little MX-5 RF coupes there, you know, the one that's got the hard top.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it going, oh, that looks sweet. And then I saw the open, you know, boot lid, and I'm like, my stuff will not go in that.
Nope.
I got that tool case and everything. No, the lid is about as small as what you'd find on a Lotus Elise, and maybe not even that much smaller than on a convertible Camaro, believe it or not.
Right.
Yeah.
But my toolbox would not go in the back of that car. And I was so sad.
It holds about a beer crate.
Yeah.
For like 2 days of my luggage with shoes.
Same thing happened years ago at the airport in Columbus, Ohio. There was actually a BMW 3 Series convertible that I could have taken, but my gear wouldn't fit in it.
You're going to have to get smaller gear, man.
I know.
Yeah. So. Misty, wrap us up.
Yeah. So, you know, that's actually been on my mind, you know, ever since the existential crisis with Claudette, you know, how attached we get to individual cars. And that seems
right.
Also be a running theme, you know, Dawn talking previously about caring more about what happens to cars in movies than, you know, people.
Yes.
You know, so maybe it's just something specific to gearheads. Maybe it's, you know, a common theme, but I was certainly glad to have my baby girl back. And maybe for Christmas, I'll get her a reverse camera.
That's the thing I wanted to touch on real quick. I'm glad you said that because they wanted 500 euros to put in a reverse camera, meaning it'll show up on your dashboard.
Yep.
But because you can get aftermarket ones for probably a lot less than 500 euros. And they should also talk to the existing hardware in your car.
I just go with my Mazda dealer because it's, I really like them. And I'm usually, you know, I bring my car in and they've never once treated me different than they treat my husband. They've never questioned, you know, my knowledge about cars, et cetera. They've never talked down to me. They've never tried to give me the runaround. You know,
I'm glad to hear that.
They're good people. Yeah, they're really good people. And they know that if they try to pull any shenanigans with me, I'll whip out a bar ivory soap or something and, you know, go full Raiden County on them.
Right, right.
I've got to say, this is the first time we've had a segment on which, with all the double entendres, I felt like smoking a cigarette at the end of it.
Latex, leather, what else is missing? that's the thing about cars after dark episode. That's what we have.
Speaking of chickens, you know, erotic is using a feather, kinky is using the whole chicken.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, on that note, let's do our we have one listener question which we'll spend a few minutes on today. It's from Bill Rich. Good old friend Bill Rich says, why are car radios not able to save and restore your presets when you remove power? Which I think is an excellent question. And I think I know the answer as well, but it seems to me now with capacitors, maybe we can invent a radio that doesn't lose all its presets for X number of hours or days that it sits out of the dash. Anyone want to field this answer first?
Probably because nobody saw a strong enough need to spend the development resources on that.
Right. I mean, I understand why no one thought about it in the beginning when presets were all mechanical. You know, you used to set your old AM deck by pulling out the switch, setting the dial, and then pushing in the switch to set your preset. once upon a time, but when everything went digital, it's like, okay, we lose that memory every time you unplug the car. So, you know, why haven't we done that, Ben? Why haven't we actually wasted? Why haven't we actually spent the resources to make it possible to remove a radio and keep all the presets in? They remember their factory codes. What's up with that?
Well, for all but probably 1/10,000th of a percent of the market, it's not a frequent enough occurrence to spend the R&D on, you know, to have somebody design that into the, you know, circuit or the programming.
So basically you're saying it's just a lack of a squeaky wheel. Not enough people have stepped up and said, this is a feature that I want.
Yeah.
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 Because how often do you disconnect the power to your car radio? For most of us, hardly ever.
That is true.
And I wonder if that's the case in some of the higher end EVs that they don't. Because what makes a sustainable memory system for like that is a small integral battery that will hold the temporary data in RAM, as opposed to something like the codes, which usually are essentially, well, lack of a better term, etched on the chip. But when I think about the hybrid that we had, it had so many batteries on so many different things. I'm not sure it lost the codes when we replaced the battery.
Yeah. It's something I've been meaning to investigate for an unrelated reason is the way there are a lot of cars today that you can't just yank the battery out, go down to AutoZone, grab another one, come back and put it in, or at least in theory you can't. The one time I've had to change the battery on my Mazda, they told me at the shop, no, you need to bring it in because it cannot have power completely disconnected for some reason. And the guy suffixed that with, it's kind of like a BMW. And so I let them do it. And I've been meaning since then to investigate what the actual why and how of that is, and if there is some way to do it at home. But as a result, you know, nothing was erased.
I'd be curious too. I'd be curious to figure out why they're telling you can't ever pull all the power from the car. But
part of me says probably just some safety boilerplate to keep me from setting my airbags off or something.
That could be it.
But
that could very well be it.
And yeah, and then as a result, suing the person who sold me the battery for not warning me of this.
Right. Right. And to something that Dave said earlier, you know, it's like the safety codes on your stereo are actually chipped into the thing. And I did know that. I was just throwing the data point out there to you know, raise the issue. If a radio can remember, you know, 6 digits of a security code, why can't it remember all of my presets? But the logic does not hold.
Because it only has so much room in its mind palace.
that would describe mine, except mine's more like a mind Airstream trailer.
I think mine's like a mind, you know, shed.
I want an Airstream trailer so badly. Some of them are really, really swank. Some of them are really cool. Yeah.
If we had a lot more time, I'd tell you this story about an S-Class Mercedes that had the wrong security code on the little card in the owner's manual that I dealt with.
Let's definitely talk about that next week.
Okay.
The wrong security card on the Mercedes manual. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this episode then by answering our grand trivia auto question. And before we get to the answer, let me make an appeal to our listeners. If you would like to be a guest on the show or know someone who would make a good guest on our show and have some fun and laugh with us, please drop us a line via our Facebook page. Just search for The Thing About Cars on Facebook and we should float to the top. You can also leave us a message via our website, although occasionally that's a little unreliable these days for reasons that I can't figure out. So it's safer to get us, more reliable to get us a message via Facebook. In any case, we hope to hear from you about your interest in being a guest. And our grand trivia auto question for the day via our trivia czar, Tim, he says, his question is, why are old stepside pickups steel fuel tanks less likely to corrode? And the choices were the chromium, copper, zinc, and other preservatives leach from the wood pickup bed onto the fuel tank, which protect it. The fuel tank had to be installed before the pickup's frame went through for painting. Therefore, the fuel tank was primed and painted along with the frame. Or C, the fuel tank is sheltered inside the truck's cab behind the seat. Dave, you want to take the first guess?
I'm going to say it's behind the seat.
You say it's behind the seat?
Yeah, I think that the gas tank's behind the seat.
Yeah, I don't know what year we're talking about here, old stepside pickup trucks. I'm not sure it makes a difference, though. But Misty, what do you think?
I'm going with primed and painted.
Primed and painted before it goes through anything else, yeah, so that it's protected that way? Ben, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going with the behind the seat thing too for a variety of reasons.
Yeah? What reasons?
Well, let's see. First of all, stepside was the only way pickup trucks came before a certain point in, I think, about the early 60s or so. So in the old days, especially in the old days when the beds might have been wood, that was pretty much all the trucks. Second, the leaching thing is completely bogus because there's not enough of any of that in the wood. And even if there was, it would only fall on the top and drip down the sides, whereas the bottom would be where all the road splatter was happening. But as far as being in the cab, I happen to know that they are actually there. I've seen, you know, enough late 40s Fords and Chevys to notice the fuel filler right behind the door on the cab. And I helped an Army buddy once trying to restore what year was it? It was a 47 or 8, I think. Maybe it was a 49, but it was a Ford F1 pickup that he'd found in a field, and I was trying to help him restore it. And yeah, the tank was right there behind the seat inside the cab.
Well, that, in fact, the answer is correct. The gas tank is sheltered because it's behind the seat. Dave, did you know this? Have you driven one of those before?
I've not driven one. I've seen enough of them. I also seem to recall my great uncle blowing one up in like some type of accident.
Oh, and goodness.
Just from what I've heard of the story of him blowing the truck up, it makes sense that it would have been behind the seat.
So hopefully he wasn't hurt in this debacle.
He was not hurt. Cannot say for anything about the chickens.
Gosh.
You're going to have to tell that story, but you need to wait until I get back from Spain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So thank you to Tim for our trivia item. Also to our listeners, if you have a trivia item that you'd like to submit for the Thing About Cars, we'd love to hear it. Again, find us via our Facebook page or our website, and we'd happily research your trivia and get it up on the air. Can I say that anymore? Can you say a podcast is on the air?
On the electrons? I don't know.
As opposed to what?
Yeah. Via the internets, the interwebs.
On the pavement.
On the pavement. That's, well, in right. If you drive like me, it's not on the pavement. But
in the ether.
In the ether. Yeah, exactly.
In the ether. Yeah. That's
all right.
Right.
Dave, stop reading my mind. Welcome. It's dangerous in there.
So many.
Yes.
Pictures.
Misty's got to go. Today. She's got to go and have a conversation with her mother-in-law about latex and leather and whatever else. Chickens. And I've got to get started on the edit for this episode. So thanks as always to our guest. We don't have a guest today. What am I reading from that script for? Thanks as always to you guys, our listeners, for being part of the Thing About Cars family. We will see you with another episode in about a week. Take care, everybody.
Chickens and latex.
This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.